This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, you're listening to Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and it's all about crowdsourcing healthy produce on today's show. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, imagine if you have a patch of unused garden or some land in your backyard, right? And let's say this land is suitable for planting vegetables. So technically, with the help of a platform called Pasakita, you should be able to sell those vegetables and earn some money on the side. Now, the concept works in both ways, right? So you make some money by using land that you already have, and Pasakita's customers get to enjoy homegrown, pesticide-free fresh veggies delivered to their doorstep. So the business works in favor of multiple parties. People who want healthier produce, people who want to make some extra money on the side or some extra income, and of course Pasakita themselves that facilitates the whole thing by encouraging urban farming. Anyway, to get into the details of what we are talking about, I got Haniza Mohammad Shari with me here on Zencaster. He's the founder of Pasakita, and I figured we could start by talking about the gaps in the market and how Pasakita came about in the first place. Haniza, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
Nice having you here, man. Okay, so let's start there. You know, the gap in the market, like I mentioned, what is the gap in the market that you are trying to solve with Pasakita? Like, what is that one major problem that you want to solve with this venture?
Well, Pasakita, actually, we start off with a beta version back in 2018. It's just to start off the application to solve my mom's problem in terms of selling her produce to the community. But then now, after 2 years of running the business, we did a small survey to actually understand better what are the problems that our community facing in terms of the first initiative that we have run back in 2018. So the problem is to actually, in terms of logistics and distribution, I mean, not distribution, I would say storage, the e-commerce platform, and also fresh produce. So these are the most important problems that we commonly receive from our users. Mm-hmm. So logistic-wise, meaning it's quite difficult for the buyers initially to get their produce. Let's say they're ordering four types of vegetables, right? So they have to go to one house, to another house, to another house to collect the produce. So by having this kind of mechanism, we're solving the problem by having this distribution center. So every 1 kilometer radius, there is a distribution center where all the home growers can send their produce to this distribution center. And the distribution center will actually collect, repack, and send the produce to the buyers. So these are the current problem, the solutions that we're giving for the second stage of Pasakita.
So just for clarity to everyone listening, right? Explain to us how Pasakita works. Like, you're basically crowdsourcing, and it's also a subscription model, yeah? So just explain in brief, how does the venture work?
It's how to say, so our home growers will be in our platform. So they will actually create their own profile and the inventory of vegetables that they have in their garden. Mm-hmm. All the vegetables and fruits available in their garden. And whenever it's ready to harvest, they will actually publish it. Mm-hmm. So these are the things that are available in the market. And this is where we will trigger from our side that this particular produce is available to harvest and sell to the buyers. So that's one of the areas that we, our current growers are doing right now. The other part is whereby Pasakita will actually, we have the buying power. I mean, we have our buyers. So every week we will actually blast to our growers that, okay, we need 10 kg of tomato, 10 kg of chili, 10 kg of kailan, so based on the radius. So the growers will receive the notifications that, okay, okay, Pasakita needs this amount of chili. Hmm. So they will just acknowledge that particular order and just send over to the distribution center. And at the end of the week, they will receive the amount of produce that they sell through this Pasakita platform. Yeah, and this distribution center will actually repack and they will send to the buyers itself based on 1 kilometer radius. That's our minimum. But certain areas, we go more than 1 kilometer. That is like 5 kilometer radius. Because, for example, like now we're doing in Madini, Johor, right? So Iskandar Puteri, the residential is not so close. They're a bit far away from the 1 kilometer radius. And the population is not that I would say much as Klang Valley, you see. So everybody is quite far away from the 1 kilometer radius. So we have to broaden up our radius to 5 kilometer radius so that these people are actually able to buy and know who are the growers available in that radius.
Okay, okay. So coming to the logistics, since you mentioned delivering and within the 1 km or more than 1 km, how do you handle deliveries for the vegetables? Like, you know, you have to cover a wide area, whatever the area is, right? And especially as you are getting more signups, how are you handling those logistics? Like, do you partner with anyone? Are you doing it yourself?
At the moment, yes, we are doing this ourselves, but we go by radius. We focus on certain radius only. For example, now in Madini and area PJ, we are doing the delivery. But then once we have created more radius, this is where the distribution center play a big role in terms of consolidating and also sending the produce to the community. So the revenue stream is not from our side. So it's more on the community. So the community is making extra income. The growers will make some extra income. The distribution center also make some extra income by doing this repacking and sending the produce based on the the buyers that we have provided to them. So they will. It's not like a just in time kind of deliveries. It's more on like a weekly basis. So at the end of the week, we will provide, okay, who are the buyers? So the routes, and they will, the distribution center will deliver the vegetable based on the routes given to them. So basics package is basically we have about 2 kg. We deliver twice a month. Every 2 weeks, we deliver to our buyers. So in this 2 kg, there's a full of basket vegetables, different range of vegetables and fruits. And also the following, at the end of the month, also we'll give another basket, 2 kg, different type of vegetables to them.
Okay, okay. So at the moment, you know, you're sort of leveraging people who have their own patch of land, people who want to grow their own vegetables stuff. What about people who don't have a garden? Like, let's say people who are in condos, and there are a lot of condos in, especially like in Klang Valley, right? So what about those people?
Actually, we do have some options for them. One of the areas that we provide is a vertical garden, a vertical hydroponic set that we actually manufacture that by using these recycled plastic bottles and convert them into a hydroponic set. This is where you just need about 10 square feet of area so that you can hang these bottles in your balcony or even in your house, and you start growing all these leafy vegetables so that it's easy for you to manage that. The other option that we're looking right now is to tag along with this GMB, because every condos or high-rise building, they have a piece of empty land that they don't really utilize that. Instead of planting all these green leaves, you know, flowers, things like that, we are trying to engage with the GMB to encourage them to start giving that plot of garden so that the community can start growing a healthy food rather than all these fancy plants that is, you know, these are the areas that we're looking at. And on top of that, like for example, MBPJ, they have this initiative when you grow vegetables in your own home or even in your own condo, you get that incentive of tax exemption like cukai tanah and cukai pintu, because you are actually reducing the land that they you know. But because when you start gardening, obviously you'll start doing the composting. So when you do composting, you start to manage your waste properly. So when you start manage your waste, so the local authority does not need to separate and then create more landfill for the PJ area, for example.
How much do people have to pay for the, you mentioned the hydroponic set, how much is that?
We grow based on bottles. The minimum set is around about, if I'm not mistaken, about 200 to 300 ringgit per set itself. So mm-hmm. you have about nearly 50 pots of recycled bottles, basically plastic recycled bottles.
Okay.
That's the minimum one.
Can people make back that investment by selling their produce back to you? Like, is that like what is the figure like? Because I'm thinking about people, let's say, who might need the additional income. Let's say people in the B40, for instance.
Right.
That's a bit of a big investment for them, right? So can they make back that right. money if they sell the thing back to you?
Yeah, they actually can make money, but we focus on expensive crops rather than leafy vegetables, see? And even herbs. Mm-hmm. So because these are the demand and expensive crops that you have to buy in the market. So if you grow that in your own garden or even using hydroponic sets, it's a very high crop value that you can sell to the buyers. For example, like chili. Mm. So chili is quite expensive now. It's cost, I think, if I'm not mistaken, about 20 ringgit per kg.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so it's quite expensive, and 20 ringgit per kg is roughly about only one plant, because one plant of chili you can at least produce 2 or 3 kg of chilies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 10 pots of chili grown in your garden, so you try to imagine how much you can earn per month.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's only for one house. And if you have 5 houses who actually focus on chili, you can actually cover more than 100 families for that particular radius, you see? Okay, 1 kilometer radius, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
expensive crop is one of the areas that we focus on.
Right. Okay, so if you're just tuning in, we are talking about crowdsourcing healthier vegetables on a platform called Pasakita with its founder, Haniza. We will be back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Yep, it is BFM 89.9. You're listening to Open for Business, and I'm Arvind Yuvraj. My guest here is the founder of Pasakita, Haniza Mohammad Shari. So just continuing this conversation about crowdsourcing for healthy produce and healthy vegetables. So where does your revenue come from, Haniza? Just the subscriptions? Because you're paying the quote-unquote the urban farmers a pretty good sum, from what I can tell. So your profits are purely from the monthly fees, right?
That's right, from the monthly fees. So our margin will take now normally about, currently we're taking about 30% from the margin,
mm-hmm.
from the revenue itself.
I see.
Our revenue, that's right.
So I'm quite curious. I asked you just now how much the subscriptions cost, and you said that there are a couple of tiers. There are 2 tiers. Your subscriptions are 50 and 100 monthly. Most
right.
people would say that they can find fresh veggies for much less at the supermarket or the pasaborong. So who is your target market with Pasakita? Like what is the main customer base that you are going for with these subscriptions?
Our customers, it depends on most of them who are into these healthy lifestyle, healthy foods.
Mm-hmm.
These are one of the group of audience, actually, public. And also restaurants, you know, hotels, they like to have this kind of organic, not, I would say less pesticide-free. I would say pesticide-free kind of vegetables mm-hmm. served in their restaurants. So these are the group of customers that we are serving right now. Yeah.
Okay. So obviously not everyone knows how to grow vegetables. A lot of them will need some sort of guidance, someone to teach them how to do it, because I know that a lot of people are interested, but a lot of people don't have green thumbs. So do you provide that sort of thing for them? Do you teach people how to grow healthy produce? Do you tell them what they need to change if their vegetables are not growing healthy?
Oh, okay, basically for Pasakita, we are not focusing on providing that kind of training or even workshops to them in terms of growing healthy food. But then we do deal with partners who are actually assisting us to provide all the necessary training to them. Because Pasakita is just a platform for them to understand how to grow vegetables and also to sell their produce to the community. So they will be focusing more on growing, and we will be focusing more on the marketing and find the demands for who's going to buy their produce. But the basic stuff that we provide is more on the basic stuff on how to grow, how to manage your crops, and what are the common problems that you face on the crops. Mm. So these are available in our platform so that they have some guidance. Maybe in the future, we will plan to have an enhanced version of this, providing monitoring the vegetable from growing up to the harvesting part. But now we are focusing more on the supply chain for the demand part.
So you mentioned that you've been around for about 2 years, but you're still in a kind of a pilot phase at the moment, right?
Now we are in operational. We are moving forward in terms of creating more home growers and also linking up with them to the community gardens under every local. So our go-to-market strategy now is more on partnering with local authority. Mm-hmm. So this is the way to engage and to explore more growers in that particular area, because every community, local authority, they have a department who are actually in charge in community gardens. So this is how we tap into working together with them. Because when you go to the community gardens, for sure you know who are the community growers who are interested in gardens. So this is where how we get our growers to be in our platform. And that's how we are moving forward right now.
So you mentioned that you know, you were getting in touch with like management from condos to use their patch of land and stuff. Do you see Pasakita as more of a B2C platform or more of a B2B platform? Like, do you think it'll be more successful if you engage like corporates and places where they have patches of land that, you know, they can lease out, or they can sort of grow vegetables for you? So what are you looking at long term?
Yes, for long term, we do work with these CSR programs, like linking up with the CSR, getting funds from them, and use that to actually fund these community gardens and give back to the community and create that community ecosystem, growing fresh and pesticide-free vegetables within the community. So these are the areas of long-term B2B kind of business that we're looking at also, mm-hmm. because we do engage a lot with these local authorities, and they are finding ways to actually assist them getting these community growers to be engaged in these community gardens and start growing. So these are the areas that we are looking at also. That's true. B2B,
yeah.
Yeah.
How do you measure success at Pasakita? Like, you know, because you're starting on a lot of new phases, new ventures. What do you need to happen at Pasakita for you to say that it is a successful venture? Like, how do you benchmark that?
Oh, it's quite a tricky question, Leo. To me, it's a successful project when we have that decentralization of food security in the community, so that we don't depend on import foods. We start to grow our own vegetables. Community, especially the elderly, the retirees, are in the community garden, growing vegetables, socializing, eating healthy food. That is one of the successful benchmark that I'm looking at, because coming from healthcare background, we see that the common problems in healthcare is the elderly, because of not eating healthy food. Mm-hmm. So these are the this is where I relate with Pasakita to complement with the healthcare. Eating healthy food can get healthy lifestyle. So that will be our benchmark of success for Pasakita.
Nice. Few more questions, Haniza. So are you worried about copycat companies? I mean, what you have is a unique model, but it's a model that can be replicated. I wouldn't say easily, but can be replicated. So is that a concern for you? Are you worried about stuff like that?
No, I'm not really worried about that. People do come around and understand how Pasakita works, how is the business model. I don't mind sharing with them because it's a huge market. Mm-hmm. As what I mentioned earlier, the success story of Pasakita is having all these community gardens. Even if you have another copycat, to me, it's a success story that the business model works. works, and we have created all these community gardens, and committee is engaging and start growing healthy food at their own community. Because it's a huge market. Mm-hmm. Even ourselves right now in Klang Valley and Johor, so we are unable to cope with the demands.
Oh, yeah.
So some people from the Terengganu, Pahang, and even in Penang also start calling and say, you guys can run the same initiative. You can just use our platform. That's the most important thing, so that we can provide the necessary data to this local authority and also to the growers. Because we working with the local authority is providing the necessary data analytics. That's one of our core area that we provide for local authority. So they do know how many community gardens in Malaysia, what are the common crops they are growing, what are the expensive crops they are growing. So with this food security, having that in the local authority, you don't have to worry on getting the foods within 1 kilometer radius. Yeah. So yeah. Copycat, it can happen. It's just that we are okay if they have the same vision that we have.
Hanizah, what kinds of challenges are you facing at the moment with Pasar Kita?
Oh, challenges. I don't know where to start, man. there's a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
Especially because most of our growers are retiree. Okay? So it's a huge gap of age that we have to communicate with the elderly people. So that is the biggest challenge that we face from day to day. But we understand, once you understand the how elderly retiree thinks, it's easy for you to communicate with them and understand them better.
Okay, that's very interesting. I did not expect that that answer as one of the main challenges.
Yes.
So I think a good way to cap this interview would be to talk about expansion. It's the new year. It's still January, but we've seen there's already an MCO. There's already state of emergency.
Yeah.
Things have happened in the first 2 weeks of the year already. So what is 2021 looking like for you? What is next for Pasar Kita?
It's a bit... I would say some of our volunteers will say, can we go to the garden? How are we supposed to go to the garden? Can we grow vegetable? You know, that kind of stuff. So to us, I would say it's a good opportunity for Pasar Kita or any other platform right now providing food, because they know that food security, one of the areas that they have to focus. Even the World Bank actually came out with a report earlier of this month that they are focusing on this food security. So to us, I don't think so. It's gonna be it's a downfall. People still need food, and having this local crops growing within your community will be solve a lot of problems in getting their vegetables or even foods. For everyday consumer.
You can get more info about Pasar Kita at pasarkita.my, pasarkita.my. Hanizah, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah, so you can download and stream this interview again via podcast on the BFM website or the BFM app, which you can get for free on the Apple App Store on Google Play. And we are also on Spotify. We are parked under the podcast section. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.